Chapter 1. An Unfinished War. At the time of the Gulf War in 1991, a man going by the name of Samir al-Khalil started appearing on American television news programs. The name was a pseudonym, and the man's face was always turned away from the camera, his identity further disguised by a wig. Samir al-Khalil was the author of a book about Iraq under Saddam Hussein called Republic of Fear. It was written during the 1980s, while Iraq was at war with Iran, and hundreds of thousands of men were dying in the trenches and minefields of the two countries' long border, by poison gas and inhuman wave attacks, in fighting reminiscent of the stalemate and slaughter of the First World War. Except that this war was more modern, fueled in the manner of 20th-century wars by totalitarian ideologies. In Iraq, an aggressive brand of pan-Arab nationalism. In Iran, a revolutionary dictatorship of the clerics. It was a death struggle between fear and faith. More than 1 million men were killed or wounded in the Iran-Iraq War of 1980 to 1988. In this country, hardly anyone noticed. Against the background of this calamity, Samir al-Khalil, who lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and had access to the great collection of Arab sources at Harvard's Widener Library, researched and wrote his book. Republic of Fear is dense and obsessive. It dissects the history and character of the dictatorship of Saddam and his Arab Baath Socialist Party in relentless detail, showing how much the regime resembled and borrowed from the European totalitarian movements, the Nazis, fascists, and communists. By the end of the book, a reader understood why its author had sought refuge behind a pseudonym and a hairpiece. It took him 3 years to find a publisher. When the book finally appeared in 1989, it went predictably ignored. Until August of 1990, when Saddam invaded Kuwait and put Iraq in the center of Americans' consciousness. Suddenly, Republic of Fear became a minor bestseller. As the Gulf War came to a close in early March 1991, with Iraqi forces routed and in headlong retreat, Samir al-Khalil appeared in public at a Harvard forum and shed his pseudonym. His real name was Kanan Makia. He was the son of one of Iraq's most distinguished architects and an English mother. He was a trained architect himself and had once managed his father's London firm. Makia decided to reveal his identity because events in his country of birth were taking a disastrous turn. Shia in southern Iraq and Kurds in the north, encouraged by President George H.W. Bush's call for Iraqis to rise up against Saddam, were being slaughtered in the thousands by the remaining elite units of Saddam's army and his secret police. Iraqi helicopters were taking advantage of the ceasefire terms to massacre civilians from the air or drop suspected rebels to their deaths. At the Harvard event, Makia urged Bush to stop the slaughter and finish the war by moving on to Baghdad and overthrowing the regime. The first Gulf War did not turn out as Kanan Makia had hoped. Saddam kept his grip on power, and soon Bush lost his, and Iraq slipped from most Americans' minds. But throughout the decade between the end of the first Gulf War and the morning of September 11th, 2001, Iraq remained an irritant and a reminder of unfinished business. Saddam paved the lobby of an upscale hotel with a mosaic of Bush's face, so that guests had to walk over the features of the American president. Apparently needing greater satisfaction, Saddam tried to have Bush killed on a visit to Kuwait. He commanded that his architects build a grand mosque, one of the largest in the world, with minarets in the shape of AK-47s, and he called it the Mother of All Battles Mosque. It was as if Saddam were claiming victory after all. He had done something similar after the war with Iran, in which there was no winner, with catastrophic Iraqi miscalculations and losses. Saddam had ordered gigantic arms to be cast and smelted from models of his own. With hands holding enormous swords that were crossed into triumphal arches over either end of the military parade ground in the center of Baghdad, about a mile from the Assassin's Gate. The helmets of dead